Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Lorenzo. Welcome back to Society Talks. I'm with Madi Kachi. Sorry, did I mess it up already?
It's all good. It's Kachi, yes.
All right, Madi Kachi. I'm so happy to be able to talk to you today. First things first, we'll get into all the amazing projects that you're doing. One notably, is it Bruh or Bras on BET with Tyler Perry, right?
Yes, just Bruh, no pluralization, and that's okay. BET Plus, Tyler Perry Show, absolutely.
And I've seen a few episodes, but because there's four of you, so I always am like, is it Bras or Bruh? The other one would sound like a bra. But anyway, let's start at the beginning, man. Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in the Twin Cities, like mostly St. Paul side, for those who know, like the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I grew up there from birth all the way through high school. And then I left home to go to university.
Gotcha. And you are, I think I read that you were in ROTC, or did you actually, do you have family members in the military? And did you actually kind of go on that path?
No, actually. Well, my story was interesting because in Minnesota, like, we don't have any coastline, so there's no Navy. Right. So I didn't know much about the service. I just kind of, I filled out the little reply cards, because at first I was like, yeah, let me fill everything out. And the ROTC recruiter was on it, and he called me right away and got me in for an interview and had me taking the SAT, ACT to submit the scores. And then once I got the scholarship, I'm staring down the barrel of like full tuition for 4 years. And my mom didn't have the means to pay it. I sure didn't. So it's kind of like something which is like, well, this might be something to think about. And that was my pathway. And so then, yes, after I graduated, I did, I served as an officer in the Navy.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I had kind of an unconventional path. No legacy, no family, just like a kid with an opportunity who took it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, and I don't know if Adam Driver did the same thing. He was in the Army, and I don't know if he had a lineage of people being in the service, but he did the same thing and then parlayed it into, I mean, I don't know that parlayed into, but he then ultimately, you know, I mean, he's doing very well. So.
Right. Yeah. And afterwards he went on to Juilliard or one of the top like drama schools, and you know, he's obviously doing his thing with his career. So.
Yeah. Now, did you move to Atlanta being out of the service?
No, actually. So I initially was in Los Angeles. Like after I got off active duty, I stayed in the reserves, but I relocated to Los Angeles. And at the time I said I wanted to act, you know, and I didn't really know what that meant. I'd had a background doing some modeling. So I kind of fell into that because I was comfortable there. Went to a couple of acting classes and I was like the worst in the class. And it was funny. I was skipping classes. I was paying for it. I didn't have a lot of money, and each class probably was costing me at least $50 a class, but I would skip them because I was apprehensive about going in and getting critiqued by the teacher in an unfavorable way. So, that's where I was at with my insecurity at the time. And then
a mean teacher or something, or was,
their method maybe was a little more harsh than others, but at the same time, like, you know, it's one of those things where I can accept it. I just, at the time, I wasn't ready to face like this unknown attempt at a profession. So when I ran out of money, my first excuse was like, oh, well, acting's not paying me. It's only costing me. Modeling is paying me. So let me focus on that. But really that just kind of got me back into my comfort zone away from what I was scared of. And then I was still in the reserves, just like part-time Navy. I relocated to New York for a little bit. So just like, again, focus on the modeling side, stay away from what I was scared of. And then I moved back to LA, but still didn't start doing classes again or seeking any representation. And then I deployed overseas for what ended up being my, final Navy time, and that was I was activated for about a year. I was living overseas in Dubai in UAE. Wow. And when I got back, that's when I decided, because I had like a commercial running at the time, and I made some pretty good money with the Navy that I was able to save, so I came back with like a nice lump sum of money in my bank account. And I said, okay, no more excuses. I'm out of debt. I got some money. I'm just going to go to class and no excuse. I'm going to grit my teeth and do this thing.
Did you go back to the same class or did you choose something
different
else?
Classes. Yeah. I found some different classes. I tried a few different classes. I was paying, you know, I was taking multiple classes a month and paying a bunch of money. And then I really found a place in Los Angeles that resonated with me. That's the Imagine Life with Diana Castle. And that was, that really kind of reinvigorated my desire to really do that, to attempt to do this thing. And through that, a classmate of mine at the Imagine Life, she had a friend, his name is Jimmy Gonzalez, and he moved to LA with a gang of credits, but he didn't know anybody. She's like, he needs people to read with for auditions. Can I give him your number? And I was like, yeah, of course. And he was a super cool dude. And he just blessed me with information about the Southeast. And like, he's like, yeah, man, I just moved here from splitting time in New Orleans and Atlanta. And I was able to start a career and he booked like 40 credits in 3 years, something crazy, like some number where I was just like dumbfounded.
In Atlanta, you mean?
I was splitting time between Atlanta and New Orleans, so the Southeast region.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, what the heck? Because the working actors that I knew in LA were doing maybe 10 credits in a 3 year span. So I'm thinking, how is that even possible? And he was like, yeah, man, if you ever want to know about the Southeast, let me know. And then there was an interesting twist of fate. Another good friend of mine, his mom passed away and his mom lived in Alpharetta, a suburb of Atlanta. And when I went out to the funeral, I thought, well, maybe it's all credit card expense at this point anyway, it's just going into more debt. So let me see if I can get some meetings, and met with some agents out here. And eventually they were interested, but they were like, you got to move here. So I relocated here, and that was 2017. And I still had zero credit at that point. Like I'd been training. So I was now like comfortable in my training a little bit, but I still hadn't done anything professionally on film or television. So I was just starting.
That big fish in small pond kind of thing, right? You know?
Yeah. I mean, and really what it enabled that I think is the most valuable is it enabled opportunity to get better at auditioning. And that's a thing that isn't maybe emphasized enough. And I had just started auditioning maybe about 6 months before I moved here in LA, but I was auditioning once every 2 months. And that was like, you know,
Can you keep that muscle flex when you're doing it so infrequently?
It just wasn't, you know, and then that's the biggest thing I realized when I relocated is that like, oh, I'm doing this often enough to where I feel that I'm actually improving at it. Cause you know, whatever you practice, you get good at. So that was the biggest value, and just the reps were enabling me to improve at a thing that is required in this business. And then, you know, book your first thing. I booked my first thing, and then, you know, start to be like, okay, there is some payoff in this. And then you book the next thing, and then the momentum comes and you start to figure it out in a way, you know, I'm still figuring it out, but yeah, that's my journey.
Auditioning is an interesting thing because a lot of actors can be really, really amazing actors, but they suck at auditioning, or vice versa. They're amazing auditioners and then they get on set. Cause I mean, I've been in casting for many, many years, and then they get on set and it's like, oh geez, they can't really, you know,
they can't live up to what they created in the audition.
Yeah.
And that's such an interesting thing you say, Joe, because it is, it's like a skill in and of itself. It's a version of acting, but it's not the same as on-set acting. And that's, but it is another skill that as an actor who wants to work professionally, you have to become proficient at it to even get in the door. So that was.
And there's even famous actors that have said it like, oh, I think Meryl Streep did an interview on Graham Norton one time and she was like, oh, I've had horrible auditions, you know, and then you're freaking Meryl Streep, but is a skill. Each one and it's a different skill. So it's interesting you say with the only auditioning once every 2 months or something like that, or a couple times every 2 months, because like, I don't know if you go to the gym or anything like that, but if it's the same thing as flexing a muscle, you know, if you're not
using it. Such a great analogy. I love that analogy. I actually use that. Yeah. It's so accurate.
Yeah.
Because so he said, build a physique and you can work out once every 2 months. You'd be like, well, why even go? You know, exactly. But if I said, you can work out three times a week, you can do something with that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And the reason it's, guys, everybody listening, the reason I actually said that is because we are not together. Everybody don't freak out at us. Normally I do this, you know, in a studio in Hollywood, but we are remote. Madi, you're in Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep, and I'm actually in Jersey.
In the comfort of my own home.
I'm in Jersey because I got stuck here in March. And so I actually haven't been able to go back to LA. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. So
Jersey was family. You grew up in Jersey. Yeah. So that's where your family is?
Born and raised in Jersey. Yeah. And I came here like at the end of February and I was only supposed to be here for 2 weeks. And then COVID hit and it just, you know, it's been a mess. But look, it's good. Like we were saying before we even started on this, you know, the at home is starting to get to me. How are you feeling with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like everything is a double-edged sword. So I'm absolutely ready to get back to work. Even just back to auditioning. It's like, I miss that so much.
Yeah.
Because everything is
not doing any like auditions at home, self-tapes and things like that?
Not really. I mean, there was a couple that have been sprinkled in. I mean, maybe I've had two or three max during these whole last few months, but it's only because certain casting directors are deciding to try to stay ahead of it. But because there's no actual dates yet for production,
right?
It's hard. I can understand in the casting director's perspective, you start to audition people, even if you want to pin them and avail them, like you don't know exactly what dates to avail them for.
Really, so uneasy. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about now you're in Atlanta, you're on a Tyler Perry show, which I want to talk about, but you know, I read he implemented the first sort of process or guidelines to going back into production, and it's in talks, or it was in the trades that he's going back into production in mid-July with specifics on, you know, testing the actors, quarantining the actors on his set, which he can do because he has a huge, beautiful studio now. Yeah. And you know, making them stay in the production houses and things like that. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Honestly, that's super exciting. I mean, it's so exciting. Again, I'm not fully familiar with the details. I haven't spoke because I know the shows that are going back into production are Sisters in the Oval, and I haven't spoken to any of the actual people on any of those casts or crews to know the full details. I read what everyone else has read in the trades,
right?
But that I think it's awesome that Tyler Perry, as the mogul that he is looking for solutions. He's trying to find a way that everyone safely can get back to where we all want to get to. So
yeah,
I love to see
it. I said he knows what he's doing for sure. And he's not just saying, you know, because some people can say, let's just do it because the economy needs it, or let's just do it because whatever, the wrong, you know, sort of motivation and with the wrong steps. But what I read from him, I was like, everybody should take a page from what Tyler Perry is about to do. So I hope that it, you know, it translates to what work for you and it is the new normal, you know, but I think that he really has a handle on it. I mean, he's Tyler Perry.
And that's, you know, he's an impressive, impressive individual. And this is another example of like, he's a guy who is looking for solutions more than he's looking for problems. And he's like trying to do things more than he's trying to complain about things. And his actions kind of show it. He's a humanitarian and a philanthropist. Mm-hmm. He's a, you know, entrepreneur and a mogul. He's an actor himself. He's a director. He's a writer. So, you know, again,
and I've met him a few times. He's quite kind as well. Like he didn't know me initially. We met at the premiere of I Can Do Bad All By Myself with Taraji. And he's just quite a very amazing person as far as I'm concerned, because he didn't know me from Adam and he was very, very kind. It was a big premiere for him. This red carpet, or it was like a purple carpet or something, but it was huge. And I was, and you know, there's just so many people. And there's Gladys Knight there. There's all these great people, but he was a very amazing, kind person from my few times meeting him. So
that's so great to hear. And it doesn't surprise me because he's, you know, he's just a solid individual with a good heart. And as big as he is, as rich and as powerful and famous as he is, it's like his essence is still so pure and it's great.
Yeah. Well, use the right word, mogul. He is a mogul. He's doing amazing things. But the fact that he's still grounded and kind is amazing. But this is not about Tyler Perry. Let's talk about you. So let's talk about When You Got Bruh. It's on BET. Where, like, what, how, you know, you auditioned for it. How did that come about?
So, yeah, I got a, I got an audition locally. So Raven Drummer is the casting director who casts all of his projects. Her office is out of his studios. And I auditioned, and actually I got auditions for three of the parts. So it's three of the four leads. And I was like, I was excited already because just getting to read for a lead, it's like, oh, sweet. They're really trying to give me a chance on this show, which is cool. So I went and did those in person at the, because, you know, still one of the few who still does in-person auditions here in town. A lot of them are taped. So went and did those in person with Raven Drummer. And then I went out of town. I had a, my sister and her family were in Puerto Rico, and they were like, hey, come on down and join us. We got a Airbnb. You can stay, just get a flight. So, you know, a little getaway. And on the flight back, my agent texts me because the texts are working on the flight. He's like, hey, call me. I'm like, I can't. I'm on the flight. What's up? Because he only hits me when something's important. And he said, they want to see you for a callback for Tyler Perry. They're going to fly you out to LA and Tyler Perry himself. And I'm like, oh, sweet. And I'm like, well, which part? So then it's, it ends up being the part for Bill, which isn't who I'm playing on the show, by the
way.
Right,
I was gonna say, you're Tom, right? Yeah,
exactly. So I go out there. So I'm already excited because this for me was like a first. It's the first time anyone's like flown me just to see what I can do, you know, like I haven't even booked the job. So did the callback, you know, felt good as you can, you know what I mean? Was nervous and all that, but still felt like I expressed myself.
Was he in the room?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. He was in the room. And, you know, again, he's 6'5" with a booming voice. He's an intimidating presence as a person, even though he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because he, you know, he was very kind and, you know, just did the thing and left. And then I flew back to flew back to Atlanta. And my agent lets me know, hey, you're pinned. You know, you're in the final running. So I'm super stoked. Like, whoa, man, this is amazing. And then I was waiting. It was taking everything in my patience to not reach out because I know if my agent had heard anything, he'd call me, you know, so I don't want to bug him every day. But every day I'm not hearing anything. And this went on. So I'm thinking it was Monday that I got pinned. So I'm thinking by Friday, I'll know. Friday came and went, had heard nothing. Monday, a week had came and went, heard nothing. So I'm thinking, dude, like, what the heck? Like, did I not book? Are they going to tell me what's going on? And then Tuesday, I get a text from, I'm actually on a modeling job. I'm like changing in between outfits, like taking pictures. And I get a text from my agent. So I get excited, open up my phone. And it's like, first off, you're still in the running, but they want to know, can you fly back to LA again tonight for another call back tomorrow with Tyler Perry? And I'm like, of course. Yeah. You know, and I had a modeling job already booked for the next day, but I, you know, had to cancel that and rearrange. And as soon as I got home from that job, I there was a car to pick me up in an hour from there and flew to LA and it did it. But this time was for a different part. This time it was for Tom. Mm. And, you know, went and did the thing.
But you knew that in advance, right? You did a surprise. You knew.
Well,
I
knew it in advance. Like,
oh, okay. Yeah.
At that time, like I didn't, you know, for that whole week that I was pinned, I'd only kind of read for this Bill at the callback. I'd done Tom at the initial with Raven. But then that night before the callback the next day, they're like, oh, it's going to be Tom, by the way. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so had to kind of refresh on the Tom sides there and did that the next day in the room. And then it was kind of to the point where they were dismissing some people and keeping others. And you know how they say,
craziest right, part of casting.
That's the, and you know, as being in the business, it's like, and we all actors, we all know that they'll tell you, hey, listen, if we say go home, it doesn't mean you didn't book. If they say stay, it doesn't mean you book. But we all kind of know that being sent home is like, thanks, but no thanks, you know?
Bye, see you later. Yep.
Right. So, you know, I kind of got held on, so I'm excited, but you know, I know better than to get too, too wrapped up in that moment. And then I got to do some chemistry reads. So after I did the initial with the, Tyler Perry's in the room, but I was reading with the casting director, Kim Coleman. And then when we did the chemistry read, so now it's me and some of the other guys. And we had already developed a chemistry. So these are like, I was like, man, I hope it's these guys because these are dope dudes, you know? And then fly back to Atlanta. And then the next day, I get back to Atlanta late that night. The next day around noon, my agent calls me and he's like, Marty, where are you? I'm like, I'm in my car. He's like, are you in Atlanta yet? Or he goes, are you still in LA? I said, no, I flew back. Do they want to see me again? He goes, yeah, man, they want to see you again. I'm like, oh, well, I can fly back. He goes, nah, I'm just playing with you. You booked. So I was like, my heart sucks. That was really a hell of a moment, you know? And I didn't even understand the magnitude at the time. I was excited about it, but I didn't know, like, you know, I didn't have any details on like contracts or even what the show was going to be. Like, I didn't know any of that, but it was just exciting. And then, you know, it was interesting because I had that conversation. And then after I got off the phone with him, I went to call my mom to give her the news. Like, she was the first person I went to call. And it was like the emotions just hit me at that point, you know? And it was like, I didn't cry on the phone call from my agent.
What were you feeling?
It was an interesting feeling because it kind of is just like that feeling of like a culmination of things, you know? It brings you back to all these moments and all the people that have kind of been patient with you and supportive with you along the way. And I know that my life hasn't maybe followed the path that my mom would have dreamed up in her mind. You know what I mean? She's always loved me and supported me.
Well, you're playing the doctor on TV. There you go.
There we go. And that's what is actually the comedy of it all. When I first went to undergrad, first semester, I went in as a pre-med major. I'm like, mom, yeah, I'm gonna be a doctor. I'm gonna like make your dreams come true. And you know, that only lasted one semester, and I hated bio, and I like changed my major. But now I can say, mom, I'm second best. I did okay, you know.
Playing one on TV, I love it. Yeah. Now, well, I have to ask this because I call this the Chihuahua syndrome, where actors are sort of like you said, you were waiting and it was over a week. And I call it Chihuahua syndrome because it's like, did I book? Did I get it? And you're like, as a representative or as a casting director or whatever it may be, you're like, we will tell you, you know, and for you to have that self-control to not. Where did that come from? Or were you just doing it inside and just saying, I'm not going to freak out like this.
I'm absolutely doing it inside. I can pretend to be as stoic, but I'm still like, you know, I'm a human being, but I also like to be considerate, you know, and I like to be considerate and empathetic towards like other people doing their job, especially when they're like on my team. So as my agent and my agent, Jason Lockhart, and all my agents at AMT are phenomenal. Right. So I'm not trying to, you know, be that Chihuahua in their ear as much as I want to be. Like, there's this desire within me, like, hey, did you hear anything? But they're great. And I know that they're not going to hear and sit on the information for a couple of days. Oh, I forgot to tell you, Madi. You know what I mean? So, just like, let me be patient. And you know what else that comes from? I think it comes from, I don't like when people do that to me. So when I share my news with, say, a friend, especially when they're not industry related, but even if they are, and I'm like, hey, I'm on avail for this project. Then 2 days later, hey, did you hear about the project? Hey, did you hear? And I'm like, dude, if I heard, I'd tell you. You know? So I stop telling people around me if I get some news. Like, I'm just, until it's booked, I don't even really share, even with my friends and family, because I don't want that constant chihuahua in my ear. So I definitely don't want to be that in someone else's ear.
It's almost like a jinx thing too. It's like a pregnancy. You don't want to tell them before the first 3 months or whatever. And you know, you want to tell them when it's solidified because there could be so many things as an actor where you do get far, you know, I mean, I'm glad this worked as far as even if all the reads that you had to do, but it's like, you could do that and then still be the person that's sent home. Still, you know.
Absolutely.
And so I can imagine, and I don't know if you can attest to this, but I can imagine if you did, and then maybe family and friends just being like, oh, okay, sure, just let us know when. Or, you know, and not being excited. So it's better to hold on to the information. I don't know if you can attest to that, but.
I agree completely. I'm just like, hey, you know, like, especially because when you got people who are in your life and they're, you know, they want to see you win.
Yeah.
Because I get it. Because like I said, when I started auditioning and I was doing that once every 2 month auditioning for that one under five on Days of Our Lives and white knuckle holding on to it, you know, I'd mention it to my mom. Hey, mom, I finally got an audition, you know, because I just started auditioning at that time. And then a month later, she'd be like, son, did you ever hear about Days of Our Lives? And I'm like,
yeah.
No, mom, you know, but it's only because she wants me to succeed. She doesn't, she's not trying to bother me. So I understand it's a place of sincerity, but I also don't want to have to field those questions.
You know? I agree. The Chihuahua syndrome. You're welcome to use that, Marty.
I like that. That's real good, Joe.
Well, it is. That is what it is though, because I've seen and heard it a lot. And it's like, it's that little Chihuahua that's like, can I, you know, we're going for a walk. We're going for a walk. I'm like, man. So now let's segue into how many episodes did you shoot on that?
We shot 24 episodes first full season.
Wow. Oh, yeah. It's a half hour comedy, but a lot, sometimes people don't realize that with drama, it's less, but yeah, it's a half hour, correct?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the episode, it's streaming. So it's BET streaming app. So it's commercial free. So the episodes are like 22, 23 minutes a piece. So it's like pretty quick, quick viewing.
That's great. So they can find it right now on BET streaming.
Right. So BET Plus, and the first three came out May 7th, and then it's one a week every Thursday. So I guess tonight after midnight is the next, is episode 6. So there's 5 available now. Mm-hmm. There will be 6 as of tomorrow. So, but it's one a week. So all 24 will be available. I guess that, doing the math, like October.
That's how they were doing it regardless of COVID, or did they decide to do that during this because they would have content to release?
You know what? Honestly, I don't know. Because when we shot it, they weren't sure how they were going to do it because this is still new. This is Tyler Perry Studios' first foray into streaming only content. Because they have a couple other shows on the network BET, but BET Plus is different. So BET Plus also is like TVMA. So there's cursing and, you know, nudity and things like that, because it's not restricted to the cable network stipulations. It's its own way, but they were like, we're thinking about doing 3 at first and then 1 week. So they were still kind of unclear about how they were going to roll it out. So this
Did
is
you
the
have
way
to do nudity?
I guess I'll let people tune in and find out.
That's the best answer. That's
you can check it out. Just let the season unfold and see what you see.
There you go. That's a great answer.
No spoilers here.
Find out if there's nudity. There you go.
Yeah, no spoilers here. But I will say that like the season only gets better as it progresses. That's the way I feel.
Nice. Now you've done some other stuff. Like you have something with what is it? The Lovebirds with Kumail Nanjiani and Issa Rae, right?
Yes, yeah, that just came out to Netflix on Friday, a couple of days ago. So May 22nd, that dropped.
I think it's in the top 10 right now, too.
Yeah, it's doing really well. It was, you know, over that weekend, it was the number one movie on Netflix. And, you know, I guess it's getting a lot of viewership, which is great. And I highly recommend it. Those two are phenomenal. They have such, like, endearing chemistry, because it's like, that awkward, cute sort of chemistry, you know, and it's hilarious. So I think that, like, you know, I'm grateful to be a part of a project that, like, I can just ride the coattails of two of the greats, you know, who really really did something.
And fantastic. He's about to really blow up because he's going to be in the
Eternals.
Yes, thank you, Marvel. And he's like, all of a sudden ripped. Everybody's like, where did he come from? I'm like, well, he worked out for the part. Did you film that, the Lovebirds, in Atlanta?
That actually filmed in New Orleans. So it all takes place in one night in New Orleans. Like they, as a couple, are having like this, they're dealing with the kind of staleness and bickering that comes from being in a 3-4 year relationship, I think, at the outset of the movie. And then they have something, they're supposed to go to this dinner party together and they're kind of fighting. And then there's like this accident that happens with a pedestrian, with a biker. Mm. And then everything, like the adventure ensues and comedy ensues with it. And I had a very cool part in that. And it was a ton of fun to get to play with those folks.
Are wrapped on Bruh?
You know what? Actually, I shot that before Bruh.
Oh, okay.
I shot that before we shot Bruh, but it was initially set to air. It was going to premiere at South by Southwest, and it was going to go to theaters April 3rd.
Yeah,
because
I saw that Paramount did it, yeah.
Right. So it was supposed to have a wide theatrical release, and then obviously South by Southwest shut down, theaters shut down.
Yeah.
And, again, everything's a double-edged sword. So I think thankfully for us as viewers, right, because I hadn't seen the movie until it came out on Netflix myself. So for us as viewers, I think that the Paramount did the deal with Netflix is a benefit, so we can have some funny content. And it's a fun watch, you know. It's just 90 minutes long, so you know you can kind of watch it and smile and have a good time.
Well, that's the good part about this. There's silver linings to this pandemic, but there's so many avenues with streaming. When I first started, there was like 5 networks. It wasn't, you know,
right,
over 20 years ago. But there's so many avenues, such as like when this first happened. I think Trolls was supposed to be the big thing that was supposed to come out in theaters. And because of the theaters, shutting down, they were able to put it on Disney Plus or one of those. And it's like you're saying, this was supposed to be in theaters. And instead of shelving it like they normally they would have done years ago, they have these avenues like Netflix and BET Plus where Bruh is, you know. So it's a good thing for actors. It's a good thing for creators, especially in these crazy times.
Right. I mean, I think that, you know, it is kind of cool to see like there's like the industry can sort of adjust in a way that is still of benefit. And, you know, and that's what's kind of cool for me too, is like even at this time is, hey, like everything is shut down, but I'm just thankful and grateful that
you've got 2 projects out.
I've got 2 projects out, and they both came out in May. And May, we've had nothing going on. So, and they're both streaming. One is on BET Plus streaming, one is on Netflix. So, you know, and I'm able to, you know, have fun interviews and podcasts like with you, Joe. And you know what I mean? And I'm not necessarily like, oh, well, I got to leave to go film, or I got to leave to audition. Right. It's like, this is, you know, we get to kind of enjoy this.
Well, this is the other, what some actors forget too, is that this is the other part of the job. You know, it's you film and you do your job as an actor, but then there's the promoting it, which is another job in itself.
Yeah. And that's very new for me, but I'm appreciating that side of it, you know, because it is a lot of fun, because I feel like I do connect to, I mean, really every project I get a chance to do, I love it and I'm excited about. And it is fun to talk about. Normally I'm just talking about it with my friends, and now getting to talk about it with a more public audience is awesome, actually.
I want to get back to Bruh though, because you said 24 episodes?
24 total, yep.
Yeah. So Tyler, I happen to know, I don't know if other people know this, but he is a very interesting shooting schedule and getting things in a very compact amount of time. So how long did it take you to shoot those?
So we finished all 24 in, I guess, like about 2.5 weeks total shoot. Like, you know, and we had like weekends off or whatnot, but you know, within 2.5 weeks, like so full shoot weeks and whatnot, like we had the whole season in the can.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
so
probably came in handy, because that is a boot camp right there.
You know, and it's funny. Like I was using that analogy with one of my castmates. We're talking about, and it's like, I really do feel like it's almost like acting boot camp, or you can even, for those who are familiar with like military, you can say like it's acting buds, and buds is the SEAL training. because it's like, it's the hardest that I've ever personally had to work in my life. And that includes my time in the Navy, that includes my time in college, time in high school, jobs, whatever. It's because it really was, it's demanding, but it's demanding in the way that it's like so rewarding, and I'm happy to do it. And the best part about it was that, I mean, the as demanding as it is, like Tyler Perry in the studio really just set us up for success. And all the guys, the rest of the cast, nobody brought their egos. And I got a hand that's that I got to commend Tyler Perry on that, because that's casting, you know, like,
yeah.
I think he understands to where it's like, he has vision and he can see it. Like, these people aren't bringing egos to the table. And because of that, we've got together at least like a week straight pre-production just to like do our own table reads and work together, because we knew that like once filming starts, we're not going to have a lot of time to.
You did that on your own without them asking?
On our own. So yeah, it was voluntary. So the studio or our contracts didn't require it, but we all voluntarily came into the studio, and the studio supported us with that. So they like had meals for us and,
nice,
you know, gave us space to work, and they really did kind of like roll out the red carpet for us to work voluntarily, yeah, on our own time. And that was, that's honestly why I think have
four equal leads, you know, guy leads. And yeah, I mean, look, it's that thing too, if it was four women, they would be saying, oh gosh, they're probably at each other's throats. But it's not, and not that it, they say it in a different way with guys, yeah, because I'll just be real. It's like a pissing contest sometimes. And when you don't have that, and you do have the chemistry and you do have the camaraderie to say, look, this is a package deal. It's all four of us. It's not about one or two of us. You know, it's like when the friends banded together to make sure that they all got the same salaries and things. I think it's
right,
smart that you guys did that and said, this is an ensemble. It's about all four of us, you know, and let's work together. I think it's great. Yeah.
And I couldn't be happier with these guys. I mean, it really is. And that's what I think is one of the greatest aspects of the show from a viewer standpoint, is that we know that chemistry reads, you know, it reads through the screen. And these dudes like really are my bros. Like, I'm going to love these dudes for life, regardless of when the show ends or whatever. It's like we formed such a solid bond of friendship that it's like, it couldn't have been a better group, you know? And that's
because you're playing in your 30s, but these guys are college friends, right?
Exactly. We all knew each other from college, and now we are in our professional lives in our 30s with that still, you know, with that longstanding friendship.
And, yeah. And you have to have that chemistry
to pretend, that we've known each other for 10, 15 years, you know?
And you didn't know any of these guys, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I hadn't had the pleasure to meet any of them. We met at the first callback. Like, I met all of the other guys who ended up booking at the first callback, and they were all cool and we vibed. And then like, I saw them all the second callback and I'm excited because I'm like, I like these guys, you know? And then when we all ended up being the ones to book, it was just like, this is perfect.
Yeah. Now, do you have any idea, I guess it's airing now, but do you have any idea whether we're going to get a season two?
At this point, nothing has been official. You know, obviously I'd be elated to continue on and shoot another season, but nothing has been official and confirmed. I guess that decision is coming down the pike.
Well, let's put it in the universe. We want a season two of Bruh.
Yes, sir, we do.
So now these are two comedies. Is there, you know, and I think you've done like a few things here and there of like on, you know, dramatic stuff. Is there something that you want to, I don't know, like you want to be in a Marvel thing, you want to be like, is there something that you project or that you're just putting out in the universe? Like, I would love to do this kind of thing.
Yeah. I appreciate you asking that, because I really, this whole acting career, this whole acting thing has been quite the journey. And I think a lot of my journey, I had an acting teacher say these words, and she said, your challenges in life will always mirror your challenges as an actor. Hmm. And I found that that's so true. And like, one of my biggest challenges in life had always been allowing people in, like showing my vulnerability is something that I was afraid of. And it started from when I was a kid. I came from a home, and there was domestic abuse in my home, and there was, you know, turmoil and dysfunction. But I didn't want to feel the shame of a kid who's from a broken home in school. So I always pretended that wasn't the case. And then growing up and into the Navy, and it was like you're thrust into a leadership position at a young age. And I felt like I don't want these, you know, I was a division. I was like 22 years old in charge of a division of 30 men and women, which a good number of them were older than I was at the time. Mm. So I felt like I almost had to pretend I know what I'm doing. I can't just show them like, guys, I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that that's the accurate way of how to be a naval officer, but that's the way that I chose, you know, just because it kind of went in tune with my life. Like, I want to present well, even if underneath you peel back the layers and everything's a mess.
Yeah.
And that was kind of how I lived my life. And then in my acting, it posed challenges because we don't tune in to TV or cinema to watch somebody pretend they have it all together. Like, we tune in to see them literally unraveling and exposing themselves to us as an audience, because we can relate to that as humans.
Yeah.
So
even if we show it or not, we know that it's inside, because I
know it.
Even if we show it or not, we know it's inside, and we're like, oh yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we're human, and that's, and like, so I feel like, you know, it's a journey, and I'm starting to reveal more of myself. And I think that, like, it's kind of a beautiful thing to be able to watch my acting career mirror that in my life, as I'm working on myself and opening myself up more. These doors in acting are opening up more for me. And if I had to say where I desire, it's like the roles that really scare me are the ones where I'm the most vulnerable. So because I'm scared of that, I am excited, and I would love to play these kind of parts, continuing in the career, where it's like, I am, you know, I have to open up that vulnerability for something that is, you know, painful or touches me or connects with me. And
that doesn't scare you? Because a lot of actors, it does.
It does scare me. I'm saying it terrifies me, which is why I desire it at this point, you know, because I'm very scared of it. Because I'm again, the Mahdi Kachi that has lived most of my life has run from that, you know? So now that I'm starting to open up, I'm like, let's open it up more. Maybe, you know, we'll see how that works.
Open the floodgates, and you'll never be able to turn it off, which is great. It's something, a resource you'll be able to tap into. Yeah.
Right. And I think that's just only going to help me going forward. And, you know, at this point I'm single with no kids, but that's not my lifelong goal. I mean, I'm a lot of my goals are familial in nature. So I'm excited to get married and have kids and all these kind of things. And I think that, like, that's only going to enhance my ability as a husband and as a father, if I can actually, like, you know, open up these sides of myself.
Yeah. Let me ask you the origin of this name, Mahdi Kachi. I like it. Where'd it come from?
So my first name is an Arabic name. It's a Muslim name. So really the pronunciation is Mahdi, but in English, we don't pronounce any H sounds in the middle of words, right? So when I first went to school, the first grade is the first time I went to school. I was homeschooled up until then. And when I would try to say Mahdi, everyone would be like, Matthew, what? So then it kind of morphed into Mahdi. And I used to correct people at first. Like, this is when I was like 5, 6 years old. And then I embraced Mahdi. What's that?
What does your mama call you?
My mom says like Maddie. She says it fast. So she's kind of like, hey, Maddie. You know what I mean? So she doesn't really say Mahdi either. But, like, you know, she kind of says Maddie. Everyone else says Mahdi. When I go to the Middle East or somebody who speaks Arabic, they know Mahdi. So it's, you know, but I embrace Mahdi. That's just, you know, that's just who I am. I actually like Mahdi a lot now as it's grown, you know?
Yeah. It's a cool name.
Thank you. And then Kachi, that's Italian name. My father's 100% Italian. He's an immigrant from Italy. So that's the Italian side of me.
All right. I mean, you can obviously tell what my last name is.
That's right. That's what I mean, my paisano.
Now, this was amazing. I mean, I'm so happy that I got a chance to talk to you, and I'm excited for your projects. The one project, again, guys, is The Lovebirds, opposite Issa Rae and Kumail Nanjiani, and that's on Netflix right now, and I think it's in the top 10. I just saw it the other night. I didn't see it yet, but I have so many things on Netflix to see, but I saw it.
Nice.
And then on BET Plus or BET Streaming, where do they go to get that? Do you just go to the Apple Store and all that?
Yeah, so it's available via the Apple Store. You can just get the BET Plus app, or it's also you can add it on to your Amazon subscription. It's $9.99 a month. You get the first 7 days free. So if you got Amazon Prime, you can just add it to your subscription, watch it through Amazon. You can add it to your Apple TV or Apple devices, Samsung. Like it's actually pretty, compared to other apps, you can kind of get it anywhere for all all your different services. Yeah. So
and
first 7 days free, you can check out some episodes, and if you like it, you can stick with it, or you can just, cancel after seven and not get charged.
Yeah, because you're only on about episode 5 or 6, and there are going to be many more to get to 24. So that's – look, y'all are staying home, so you got to need something to watch.
Exactly. Tune in and hang out with the bros.
Yeah, I love it. And then what do you want social media? Where can we follow you on social media?
Best place is my Instagram. It's just at Mahdi Cocci. That's MahdiCocci. Try to keep some good posts up. And you can also check out the BET Bruh has a Facebook page. So Tyler Perry Bruh has a Facebook page. You can check that out to keep updates on the show.
Nice.
And again, check into Netflix and BET Plus to see the Lovebirds and Bruh.
I love it. Well, you've been amazing to talk to, and I really look forward to where your career is going, man.
So, it's been fun, Joe. Thanks for letting me ramble a little bit.
No, I love it. And I love it when you sort of – I ask you a question, and then you really have some meat and potatoes there to ask, to answer it. I can't tell you, I do these a lot. And some of them, it's painful to get through. You're very easy to get through.
Well, you make it easy, man. And that's why I'm I hope you got some good sound bites. Sometimes I just talk too much, but appreciate rapping to you.
So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. This is Society Talks with Joe Lorenzo and Mahdi Cocci. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. And you can follow me at Joe_Lorenzo on Twitter and Instagram.